Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Survivor Specialists are back, and we are digging deeper into Survivor 46, episode number 10. It's Phil, and I'm here with Mr. Rushmore himself, Blake, who, if any of you didn't listen to our Survivor 50 burning questions, you better go over and listen to that and hear Blake's harebrained scheme for what the theme is going to be. But that's not what this is about. This episode, we're going to be talking about playing with people you hate. And I put hate in air quotes or in quotation marks, not because it actually deserves to be in quotation marks, because I'm not going to deal with people saying, well, we don't hate this person. We don't hate this. We don't hate that. The word hate was used numerous times last night. And I want to talk about why playing with people you hate on Survivor is actually very important to the game. Blake, welcome. Big Mike Bloom interview dropped with Tiffany today. Going to be very fun to bring up as part of this conversation, but I want to hear you jump in here first, blab your little thoughts about what just went down last night.
It was pretty interesting because it was like we had the crazy blow up, and then literally less than 28 minutes of footage later, it was, and now we're going to ask her for her vote to see if we can do the strategy part. And we also, in the same exact moment, like, Tiffany, Q is like, hey, Tiffany, I know we're like, this sucks, and we had a bad time, but you want to go get a hamburger with me? And Tiffany's like, I hope Q stubs his toe 3 times on the way out of here whenever he grabs his torch. And so it's just something where you're like, how many times could you hate somebody in a game? Is it petty? Is it whatever? Are you always focused on the million? Are you doing scoreboard? This is some stuff that I think has been some of the themes of this season, where it's like, I should be working with Soda, but I don't like her. I should be working with Venus, but I don't like her. There's obstacles on your tribe that you have to kind of work with. And it's just something where it's like, the good players, unfortunately, D, Tommy, 15 other people that you could say of the social game aficionados are working with people they absolutely hate, mm-hmm. or they're not letting Bruce know besides some random comment. Like, I think D had maybe one or two signs of weaknesses, but it was showing her personality, showing her strength in other ways of like pot shot at a tribal council on someone's way out. But it's like, mm-hmm. these super strong winners aren't going to go, well, I hate his guts and I'm not going to work with him and like leave the door open for other people to work around them.
Yeah, no. And I think last night we saw Maria sense an opportunity. Now, I don't really know what Maria's relationship with Q is like. I don't know if there's a disgust, a hate, a just minor annoyance. I really don't know. But she was willing. She saw that opportunity and she said, I'm going to go over it. I'm going to talk to this man because he is still a player in this game. And I think that's something that's been missed by a lot of Survivor players who don't win. Everybody who's still eligible to get a vote is somebody who is important to the game. You cannot just disregard players in Survivor. It's been happening since early, early days of Survivor. Keith Feamy was a great example of this. Jerry and Keith could not get along at all. And Keith, Colby and Tina decided, no, we're going to stay with Keith, even though we can't stand him. We can't figure out a way to get Roger and Elizabeth further in this game than Keith, even though we want to. But that would impact us being able to win. It's about winning. And Maria saw this opportunity, went out, and worked with Q. Meanwhile, we saw Kenzie and Tiffany sitting over there saying, he's grown. Tiffany said this. He's grown. He come over and talk to us. I'm tired of playing these games. That's totally fair. I'm not sitting here saying it's not fair. And I think a lot of people have misunderstood when I'm commenting about what happened in last night's episode, even on the recap. I'm not necessarily saying one side is better than the other. You are allowed to have the reaction you want to have. Liz is allowed to bug out the way she did. Q is allowed to say, screw you, I don't care. And Tiffany is allowed to say this. This is fine. But Tiffany saying this makes it so that Maria gets a hand up, a leg up on her with Q. And that ultimately proves to be why Tiffany's at home and why Maria might be in the driver's seat to win the game right now. You got to be willing to do these things. And we saw two people who did use the word hate with Liz and Ben. Both vote with Q tonight because they ultimately knew that it was better for their game.
The Ben thing is very interesting because you can just like Ben is not doing much besides like this is rocking on. And then also like going to let everyone know I hate Q. Mm-hmm. I think the opportunity where it was like the first time all four of them that didn't go to Applebee's sat on the Apple Beach. It was like, let's go.
Wow, Blake wins. Congratulations.
Ben was like, well, Q's just a bad person who doesn't know anything. And that's just something you have to deal with. And like, I don't think Q needs more burying right now. Mm-hmm. But like, good for Ben for like, well, living with Q for one more day. Shield myself for one more day. Like, is Q going to make it to six? Is Q going to make it to five? Is Q going to make it to fire making? Like, mm-hmm. It is a thing where you're like, it's not greedy when you're like, maybe the shield works for me. And like, I think it is greedy when you're like, I'm going to keep an idol and we're going to get rid of the guy everyone hates. So mm-hmm. That's why maybe it's going to work out for some of these other people when it didn't work out for Hunter and didn't work out for Tiffany. But I definitely think this feels like an old school season where it's like, what is the strongest strategy to do? And then nobody does that because we all just don't like each other. Like that's what's been happening. But this is the first time where it's like what's that meme where the two hands come in and where it's like, I hate losing and you hate losing. We're both going to lose in the next two rounds unless we work together.
It's the Michelle should have finished second place. And then it's the two hands and it says co-wrong fans, winners at war fans. And it's like them shaking hands and they're both agreeing. Michelle should have finished second place on both the seasons, even though she should have won both. But anyway.
Oh, I'm getting it now. But yeah, it's something where you're like, great job to break the curse, earn the whatever new era thing you want to say. But like, there's at least five people that could have just gotten sixth place if they just voted out Q. And now because they got Tiffany out first, maybe they get fifth. Maybe they do have a shot at fire making when they wouldn't have if they had just stayed the course and gotten rid of Q.
Yeah. So here's the deal. I need to bring this up because I think this is very important to maybe why there's more hate from Liz, from Q, from Kenzie, or I'm sorry, from Liz, from Kenzie, from Tiffany towards Q. This was from Mike Bloom's interview today with Tiffany. And this is the tweet from Bloom. Tiffany reveals that Maria and Kenzie both volunteered to give up their Applebee's reward to Liz. But Q said, and I quote, "Nobody's giving up their spot. We're going to Applebee's. I don't want Liz to come." So here's the deal. Me and Will were trying to figure this out last night. Why was there so much disgust for Q from so many people? It felt weird, right? If this is true, I am still totally on board with Q saying, look, I won the reward. I don't want Liz to come. She wasn't going to pick me. I don't have to pick Liz. Screw you, go home. I'm fine with that. However, I could see where this would piss everybody off, where Liz is over there crying and begging, and Q is saying, no, no, no. And Ben could see that as bullying and being mean-spirited. And Tiffany and Kenzie could see that as bullying and being mean-spirited. When Ben is saying he's a villain, Q's a villain, that suddenly makes a lot more sense after getting this bit of information, even if it is totally within Q's rights to do this as a Survivor player. Might not be the best Jerry management, but it is within his rights as a Survivor player. So my thing is, if that should have made the air, because if that makes the air, that clears up a lot of the discussion.
This fan base would have absolutely eaten him alive. If like having that on there, I think there's some nuance of being extremely hungry. I think there's some nuance of she voted for me twice last night. She's the only person who did vote for me twice. She had the opportunity to not vote for me the second time, went right ahead and voted another time. I think there's some you got Super Bowl tickets, Phil. Great. You have to take your least favorite person from your coworkers from the last year with you to the Super Bowl. It's no, I don't even want to go at that point. Why is this happening? Why are there stipulations on this? And I think the thing that's funniest about what you said just now, Kinsey and Maria didn't. No thought of Tiffany tried to.
Yeah, yeah. Tiffany didn't try to give it up.
I'm going. Who cares? And I think it's hilarious of there's just different parameters for everyone. Obviously, that's how gender, race, everything works in this game. The social experiment of this game, playing from the top, playing from the bottom, the perceived, oh, this person has money, but this person needs food. Food is a basic right. Holy shit, is it a basic right? And so that's a thing where I'm preventing someone from getting food is diabolical. And some of the most despicable things you could do, you can't even in war mess with the food supply. But this is a game, this is a war for $1 million where Liz tried to shoot me twice with a bullet last night and I'm going to poison her food supply.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's how the average viewer watches this game anymore, but that's where that's the asylum I was raised in, Taylor Swift. Mm-hmm. But you can't give Liz an inch because then, oh, Liz is way more fun to be around now that she's had some food. It's like, I need Liz to drive people crazy so they'll vote her out over me. And hopefully they'll understand the nuance of this. But most of these people hate me by now. By the way, I asked you to vote me out three tribals ago. None of this would have happened if you let me have my moment of honor where I lay down for these people. And Kinsey bringing that up is a big slap in the face to everyone that's ever applied. It's like, have you talked to him about his intentions from that? Does anybody actually talk to Q, or does he just sit on that boat and go, damn, well, I don't know what I'm going to do today, but screw all these guys. And I think some of our most famous moments in this game are screw all these guys.
Yeah.
Sandra's dumping fish, literally, instead of poisoning the food, she's getting rid of the food because I'm not going to let you eat Rupert's fish that he got for you guys. But now when it's Q doing it, why are we super angry and whatever? What's going on for the fan base where they're clutching pearls instead of realizing when you reap, you sow, cause and effect? I love some people being Liz's social game kept her out of Applebee's, not Q's. And I was like, okay, that's pretty pro Q, but I kind of agree with some of this stuff.
I think what's funny is right now, the Survivor community is split down the middle. on hating Q and hating Liz, but they hate Q and they hate Liz for what happened last night. Right. Like, there is no in the middle of this. It is, we must hate Q or we must hate Liz. You have to pick a side. Either Liz is super annoying or Q is such an asshole. It has to be one or the other. And maybe that's fair. And maybe you can think that in this situation. But in my opinion, I feel like it is a massive overreaction from both sides, because at the end of the day, this was for Applebee's. Now, granted, Liz hadn't been eating. Liz is looking for food, all that.
It's her go-to menu item.
Dude, but in Survivor, if you have a weak person over there, knock them down, man. Just keep knocking. I'm sorry, but that is, like, it's a vicious way to play the game, but that's how people used to play the game. And I understand that right now, oh, but we have to be empathetic and all that. Be empathetic, but also, like, play a vicious game. Play the game the way you have to. And Q saying, no, I don't want it to be her. I don't care. It's not her. She did not pick me. I'm not picking her. That is the same thing as Shireen raising her hand so Will can't get his loved one letters. Good.
Right. Which is some people's favorite moment of that season. Like, one thought process, maybe Survivor fans aren't really as competitive. Or have you ever been in a athletic scenario where it's like in the WWE or MMA, like, this guy has a bad ankle. I'm just going to kick the crap out of that dude's ankle for 3 minutes. Tom Brady picks the least experienced defender and throws the ball to whoever he's guarding the entire game and wins 7 Super Bowls for that. Like, if you know, oh, my opponent is kind of, not to say the word food insecure, that's so insane, but like, can't eat, you're not going to go, the one thing my opponent needs is food, let me give them food. And I know it goes from being like, it's not a game, they're also living together, this is something they'll remember forever, it's a social, but like, that's literally why Survivor is on for 27 years at this point, because this is the only scenario in the world where Q would prevent somebody from getting food like that.
I hope so.
And what my favorite part, I have followed Q on Twitter. Q's amazing. He literally gave 100 or 500 cheesecakes away yesterday leading up to this episode. So he's giving food to the community. It's not anything sinister. It's just, I do not like Liz, and I am trying to not level the playing field, make it worse than level.
And what's funny is I don't even know if – so Linda Walk up here says Q could have also thought it as a strategy to take Liz rather than Tiff, that even if Liz gets food, she will still not be a challenge threat like Tiff, even if she will still not be your ally. But here's the deal. You could look at it from that way, or you could look at it from the exact opposite of Q is using the strategy of, no, I want to talk to Maria. I want to talk to Kenzie. I want to talk to Tiffany. I don't want to talk to Liz. I can't work with Liz. I'm not going to be able to play the game with Liz. I got to go back to my Yanu 3. You're not giving up your reward, because this is my strategy now. This is the way I want to play the game. You've all dismissed me. Everybody dismissed Q except for Maria. You all dismissed me. So because you dismissed me, I'm going to say no. You're not allowed to do that. I want to move forward, because it is a strategic game. And Q is seeing that the best strategy he had, he felt, was going this route. And you know what? Not taking Liz and trying to do it with Kenzie and Tiffany. Kenzie and Tiffany saw right through it and said, I'm never going back to Q. But Liz still voted with him anyway, even after all of that being done. So look, I'm just saying, you need to be within the realm of the rules, right? Q wants to do this because it's strategic. That's all fair in love and war, baby. Like, whatever, do it. And if Liz is pissed about that and wants to vote him out over that, that's all fair. That's great. I'm all about it. So I don't take a side on either of these. But what I love about it is later in the episode, we see Liz rewarded for working with somebody she hates. And we see Q rewarded for, even though the Liz situation earlier in this episode, Liz is screaming at him. They vote together. Now, neither one of them had much of an option, because if Liz doesn't go that route, it's a 4-4 tie or whatever. But still, you have people who hate each other willing to work together. And Tiffany and Kenzie, who had a chance to make amends, did not do it. And that is why Tiffany is sitting at home revealing information to Mike Bloom in interviews right now, because she did not make amends the way she needed to. And you know what? Maybe Q crossed the line with her that she felt could not be come back from. But if you're going to make it that obvious to the rest of the tribe that that's how you feel, you cannot be shocked or mad when they ultimately turn around and vote you out of the game and don't and do side with the guy who you're making it abundantly clear you will never, ever, ever vote for at Final Three.
There's just so much where it's like, I don't think Tiffany played the last two rounds very well. And it is interesting to me. I really enjoyed Tiffany on this season. And people are like, I cannot wait to see her play All-Stars again. But I think she played Final Nine and Final Eight so badly where I'm like, I needed her to like, I love her personality where she's like, I'm not going to grovel to this or I'm not going to stoop to this. Love that personality wise, but gameplay and like strategy wise, it's just like, what if Tiffany comes back for an All-Star season? Cause now that's all the rage. Like, is she going to be somebody that goes deep? Or is she going to be somebody that like loses in the mid game? Cause it's just like, I know you're strong. I know you're whatever, but I don't want your strong opinions not being able to meld with what we're doing when we got to earn the merge on Survivor Rushmore. And we're getting visited by 17 other.
Okay, good. Here comes that.
I don't know. It's just, it was interesting. Tiffany, what, why wouldn't you? Like, Tiffany didn't even do the thought process of Q, I'm working with you. Let's vote out Ben. Yeah. And then do the idea of Ben, you know how much I hate Q. He doesn't have an idol. I have the idol. Mm-hmm. We're going to vote out Ben, Q. And then didn't even put that layer into it. And that's just something where it's like, I know they had 2 days this time because everyone went to sleep at Applebee's and woke up. Mm-hmm. And like, maybe that's the only way Q can survive is if anybody doesn't make that snap decision after one more day of like, yes, he like makes a crazy decision on the one day and then everyone goes to sleep. But like, I don't know. It's just something where with the expedited part of this game, maybe it's harder to work with people you hate because you're like, well,
you can't get over it.
In 3 days, we're going to be at Final Five. Like, I don't think of I'm going to be screwed before that. I think, oh, it's super quick and I have an idol. Like, but when people are saying to you, damn, Tiffany, it's like you're in Final Six already. And instead of you going, oh, I don't even think that way, you go, that is pretty sweet. Yeah. I don't know. That was an interesting thing to show.
I have a couple things to say about all the stuff you just said. First of all, I do think if Tiffany were to play Survivor again, she's dangerous. I think this is a big one that you learn from, and I think she's got the social game. I think she had to deal with a falling apart tribe early. She's now been blindsided out of tribal council. She's got a lot of the tools. She's got the physical strength. She's got all of that for sure working in her favor. What blows my mind in you know, talking about this with Tiffany, Kenzie, all of that, like not being able to get together, is what Joseph Lim says here. Even Kenzie joked with Tiffany at the beach that they might vote Tiff out. If you're hearing that joke from Kenzie, even if you totally trust Kenzie, Venus is laying on the boat behind you. You have to be somewhat concerned, even if you hear that. That should be setting off your spidey senses of Kenzie saying that, oh, we're not going to do it now, not yet. Like, is conversation been happening about this? You have to assume yes. And so I do think it's interesting that Tiffany and Q and Kenzie and Q could not even have a legitimate conversation to the point where Tiffany could say, something's not right here. Q is not telling me something. Q's got more information. Like, they should know their personalities, the three of them, better than anybody else out there because they've gone to so many tribal councils together, because they were on the same starting tribe together. They played every day of this game together. And the thing is, if you have that much knowledge of somebody's interactions, their twitches, their nervous ticks, whatever, you should be able to tell when they're lying or when they have something going for them that you didn't realize. But they couldn't even talk to Q that much to even figure that out. And that is what kills them.
I think it's worth mentioning too, the idea of why is Liz on this show without proper food from the CBS? And, oh, on season 26, we don't really give them as much rice, and there's a negotiation for rice, and using that as a plot point for episode 8 every year, or episode 7, or whatever it is. And if, once again, the social experiment's like, no, I don't feel safe, I don't want to get rice. Now you're painted so farly into a corner because somebody can't eat the other supplemental food. Then you have to do a second. And all these people are like, no, please stop asking us, Jeff. I don't give a crap. Like, I want to play the game. Like, I sign up to challenges, not for rice negotiations. Then they have to get an individual portion. Like, hey, Liz, if you don't accept this and take the L on the immunity challenge, you're going to die of starvation. And, like, that's just something where you're like, we watched Africa recently where they were super hungry, and it kind of led to days 25 through 32 are so lethargic because our people are just dying out there. And like, I'm not saying we need to give people more food, but I need to, like, whenever it's here's your beginning rice, it's the amount of portions or whatever, or because somebody has a dietary restriction. I think there's the idea of, like, there's medications that's given to people. Like, if you had diabetes, I think they would do some certain stuff for you on the thing.
They wouldn't let you play Survivor, I don't think.
Okay, well, there's that. Yeah. But, like, I think there's another thing of, like, just because Liz mentioned it, there's the idea of being food insecure and what that could do to someone mentally. That's a thing where I'm like, interesting that we're getting through the background mental check with the doctors about food insecurity. That's a thing I've heard before where you're like, okay, I think it sucks that Q is going to take the brunt of this. And it sucks that Liz is going to take the brunt of this when CBS kind of put them both in this scenario. And instead of Jeff going,
yeah,
we kind of fucked up here. Here's some rice, Liz.
Here's the thing, though. Liz knew what she was signing up for. She knew her body. She knew that this would be difficult, all of that. Also, with how easy it is for them to all get water nowadays, because they do just go over to the well and get that. These people, you could go 3 weeks without eating any food and still be alive if you're drinking water. And it's not like Liz isn't eating anything. She just can't eat the fruit. She's eating some of the rice. She's eating some of the other stuff. She had popcorn at Tribal Council. So she is getting a little bit of food. So my thing is, like, I just feel like with this whole situation that happened, you know what your body is capable of. You might not know, oh, I can go a whole week without eating food. But you do have a good sense of what your body is capable of based on how you've lived your life. And with Liz, I think she knew going out there, yeah, there's a lot of allergies. She's going to have a hard time eating some of this food. She's allergic to fish. She can't eat it. But maybe she wins a reward here and there. That's going to be enough to carry her through the game. And so I don't feel like, though, it's not the responsibility of Q or anybody else to make sure Liz eats. It's the responsibility of production. And Liz needs to find a way to make sure she eats, and production needs to make sure that Liz is actually capable of doing this. What I think is amazing about this, though, and to kind of get back a little bit to the subject at hand, is that Liz was able to be that hungry, be as starving as she is, and she's been starving the entire time, barely been able to eat, get that pissed at the person who takes it away from her and still put that aside for the game. She's not done yet. She's not dying. She's not in desperate measures, desperate times. She is still able to think succinctly about how am I going to win this game? Was it better TV to watch her Applebee's explosion? Was it better for Survivor and CBS when now they go back to Applebee's and say, you want to sign again for another season? Yes, this was so much better. But guess what? She was still playing the game. And John says here, she got rice. She could think after that. Yeah. She did get rice, but also she's already thinking about the game. She's talking about the game even before the rice situation. She's just more emotional. Survivor's hard. Survivor's not supposed to be easy. It's supposed to suck. You're out there. You're not eating what you normally eat. You're not drinking what you normally drink. You're having reactions you wouldn't normally have. I love that Liz was able to go through all of that. And if she ate rice, she didn't eat much. I doubt she ate the entire jar in that one sitting. And so she's able to put all that aside and say, you know what, though? The best thing for me, if I want to win $1 million, because Applebee's at the end of the day, you win $1 million, you need a lot of Applebee's. If I want to win $1 million, this is what I need to do. And she was able to put that and aside and make that happen. And I just think that's really impressive.
Last season, we saw Austin vote someone out because of a sandwich.
Yep.
Does it happen again? Does Q go next week?
And I was actually saying, I recorded my after show today already, and I already posted it for our top tier patrons. And I was saying in that I still believe Q is not making the final three, despite the fact that he keeps getting by and it's becoming more and more obvious every day that he's not going to win. I still don't think people are going to give him the opportunity to speak his piece at Final Tribal.
So if you are a player in this final seven, we have the four top tier, three top tier. How did we do this last week where it was the bottom tier is Liz, Q, and
Venus. Those Venus. Three, the only one that Liz beats is she can only beat Venus and Q. And I think the same goes for both of them. They could maybe beat Liz, but those three aren't beating any of the other four.
So Siga and Kinsey.
Yeah.
If you're one of those four top tier people, how do you go with anybody else in top tier? How are you not just clamoring over, I need to take Q, Liz?
And especially now, this is where it makes the most sense, right? Because we're down to final seven. All you have to do is be the person in that group of four to go to the other side and say, I want to do this. Liz, though, isn't going to work with Q, I don't think, permanently. I think this was temporary. I think Q will go because I do think it's gotten personal with people. And after hearing what Tiffany said here with the he wouldn't let people give up their immunity or their reward, I think it's kind of fair that it got personal with some people. I still think it's totally fair that Q did what he did, and I don't regret it for him. I think it's fine. But I do understand why that could piss off some other people. It's bad jury management if everybody's now looking at you saying, dude, why are you being a dick? Just let her go. And that's fine. He can have bad jury management. That's his right as a Survivor player. But I do think that like Liz, Ben, Kenzie, they're still viewing it as Q has pissed them off in a personal manner. They want Q out. So it's just going to be a matter of, can they vote out one more person? Can they play with the person they hate one more vote to ensure that they get to final six, let's say, with some sort of evened out numbers? Could Ben go over, work with Venus, Liz, and Q for one vote, vote out Kenzie, Maria, or Charlie, and then turn around and go back and say, okay, they're out. Now I can vote out Q and I still have the numbers, because that would still give you the numbers. I don't know if any of the people on that side other than Maria would be willing to do that. I also don't think Kenzie could do that at this point, because I think Q and Kenzie are going to be so at each other's throats. There's no way to repair that one. So I think they're done, those two.
And I think it's just funny of what a good season of like all of this happening back to back to back of like whatever you like about Survivor and the new era. This has all of it. Once again, I think, oh, who's going to get an idol next week? Like Q has nothing to do all day. He's not talking to anybody. He should probably be spending at least 12 hours looking through all the real estate on the island to find the idol. But like, I think it's going to be an absolute slobber knocker of a final several immunity challenge. I think there's the idol coming back. Like, I think somebody could improve and win the game just by having the idol that gets put back into play. So I think usually both of those topics are kind of like, oh, who cares? I kind of like the interactions between people. But on this next episode, those are so important for the final end game of this game. Of getting that idol could get you to final fire making now. And like Charlie, if he loses an immunity, are you going to go, I'm fine if Charlie wins all the rest of these immunities, or I haven't won an immunity for my Survivor bucket list yet. The only way I'm going to is if Charlie's gone. Mm-hmm. I think there's like all these puzzle pieces and like our breadcrumb, but like, that's what you can do in a 90-minute season of like, yes, some of these people that are still left maybe aren't the most dynamic or whatever, but they still have like, I know stuff about them.
Yeah, and you like, know stuff about everybody out there right now.
Right. And like, when some of these people lose, like if Liz loses before final three, if Venus loses before final three, if Q loses before final three, you don't think they're going to have an episode where they just blow up, or like that tribal council where they go down swinging isn't going to be fun to watch. Like, look at us. We got at least three more episodes like that. And there's only four episodes left.
Yeah,
let's go.
I know they're going to be explosive. And I think it's actually helping that all these people kind of don't like each other, because that's making it more entertaining, where they all do want to get one spot further than the other. You know, you don't want to be able, like you keep saying, scoreboard. You don't want somebody else to be able to say to you, scoreboard, I beat you. You don't want that in this era, because you really do dislike some of these people so much. I want to mention one other thing before we kind of wrap this, but in terms of the hate element of it, I think there's also something to be said about how Charlie and Maria are playing this, where they're not letting it be known who they hate. And I think that is so important and such good gameplay, because Charlie and Maria are playing this game with people they do not like. At least somebody they voted with last night, they do not like. We saw a secret scene where Maria was talking about how she doesn't trust Ben at all. And that is pretty telling, because it seems like Ben would be an obvious number three for Charlie and Maria. But all that being said, I feel like the two of them are playing this so well. Venus let everybody know that she didn't like Hunter, that she didn't like Tevin, that she didn't like Soda. And honestly, those people kind of let Venus know that they didn't like her. And the thing is, Q and Kenzie and Tiffany, they're letting everybody know who they don't like. Ben is now saying he doesn't like Q. Q's a bully. He's saying at camp that is a person who is, you know, a villain. Everybody, now we know it. Liz is saying it, but Charlie and Maria are keeping to themselves the information. And I think that is really, really great gameplay. And playing with people you hate is super important to winning Survivor, because a lot of times you do have to play with people you don't like, and that will be more beneficial for your game. But also not letting the entire cast know who it is that you don't like is why Charlie and Maria, I don't think, are coming up on people's radars. Like, everybody else's name has come up as, we should vote this person out. Charlie and Maria have been pretty much scot-free almost the entire season.
And I know you haven't watched Big Brother.
I haven't.
But having somebody that everyone knows that you don't like, you can always do the, I can't stand Phil. Mm-hmm. I'm going to vote out Phil. Like, that's where you need to know. Until Phil goes, I'm not really pertaining to. And then, like, you get clued in on who the actual vote is, and then you go, you know what? I still want to vote out Phil, but I guess I'll vote out Stephanie instead. And like, somebody else is like, well, maybe that could be me, but I know Blake hates Phil so much that he's not going to lead anything himself. That gets you further in the game. Maybe it doesn't really get you the votes in the end, because everyone's like, I thought you hated Phil the whole time. And you're like, I use that as a smokescreen. Like, yeah. I'm very interested to see who's not only going to make it to the final three, but which of these players are going to be able to not have the entire jury step on their neck every 5 seconds. Like I truly think the final tribal council is going to be terrifying. Of like, somebody's going to go, I wanted to vote out Hunter, and somebody else is going to go, bullshit. And you're like, oh my God. And like, the pizza party afterwards, I would not be surprised if some people are like, I don't want pizza and I don't want to talk about this season at all. Goodbye.
I could literally see them leaving. I really could. I could see some people just being like, I want to walk out of here, Jeff. I'm not.
Right. Like, why does nobody mess with Venus anymore? Like, there has to be like, either an elimination or something that happens, like Juicy, where nobody talks to her.
Yeah. No, you're right, though. I mean, you are right. No, it's going to be that final tribal is going to be crazy. And I think it is going to be like a lesser of the evils. Although if Charlie and Maria sit there, I don't think people are going to hate them. And I think at this point, the only one who doesn't like Ben is Q. I think Q and Ben, I think they were a personality clash that was always just bound to happen. I don't think they were ever going to get along, even in real life. I don't necessarily think Ben and Q would be like buddies. So I just think that that was something that would really, you know, irk each other. And so when you look at this, like, okay, so Ben goes to final three, he doesn't get Q's vote. Who cares? He can still get everybody else's vote there. I think the Sigas have had the least amount of blood on their hands, but it will be interesting to see how Maria handles the damage control she's going to have to do next week, because next week she has to do damage control with Kenzie for sure. And Ben's going to have to do it too, because Ben just went against who what seems like it was his closest ally, which is Kenzie.
Which, poor Kenzie, I think that'll be a conversation she has. I don't know if we do poor Kenzie, because I think she's got to be the odds on favorite of like
after this week. I don't know, man.
But they didn't go egg on your face for Kenzie in the edit. So not that I'm trying to read into edit, but like there's just the idea of Kenzie could have been like, I don't know. They're like, oh, we don't need Kenzie's vote. But Kenzie making the end, like, I don't know if that she's going to get there, because it's like, I'm not going to vote for Q. I'm not going to vote for Venus. I'm not going to vote for Liz. I'm not going to vote for like, how do you, like, somebody's going to have to go on a immunity run out of nowhere to like break up that GOAT alliance thing. And mm-hmm. like, I think I don't want to stop before we say, like, what a crazy, like, Q's story from beginning to end on this season is like Kathy Varvik O'Brien levels of storytelling for me, which I don't know if you're like, Blake, get a life here, but like Q was the coach that mm-hmm. was coaching bad players how to play, and they were so bad, and maybe his coaching was so bad, and now he's like, Maria, how do I get through that? And she's like, she's a literal coach. Her mm-hmm. her thing says coach at the bottom. Do you want to change your fate? That moment of like, now Q's getting coached. Q can get through this round if he, and he's an athlete who's talked about athlete. I think somebody said the slow motion of him winning one challenge for a tribal, and now mm-hmm. the slow motion of him losing one is his fumble. Like they are like, Q is something we get once every 13 seasons. Let's pay it off as much as possible. And whether Q is making faces on the jury, the Q question, I can't wait for a final tribal council. Mm-hmm. If he gets to explain himself, and somebody was like, I promise you, you don't understand, he has sold more homes than anybody possibly could fathom. He's one of the best sellers of selling ever. Mm-hmm. It's like, God, like, how could you go, I'm gonna rank the new era seasons and not snap pick 46 as your favorite? I don't get it. If you're fine,
46 has been great. It really has. 46 has been really, really, really entertaining. And I've been into it. And you know, right now I still say that 43 was my favorite of the new era, but I do think that there's a very real possibility that this could end up being my favorite of the new era. Because it's just been on fire right now. I still need to see how it ends. I still got to see how the finale goes, but this season has been absolutely just delivering week after week, after week, after week. Like, and I love
the only way this could have been better is if
Brandon did not get medevaced and Banu went home at that spot.
I was also going to say, Brandon, I was going to say Brandon Donlan goes in for Randon instead.
now you meet Brandon Donlan once and you're like, Brandon. You're
like, just like Bruce hit his head.
Yeah.
Brandon Donlan hit his metaphorical head, and we're going to give him another shot on the tribe with Venus.
Hey dude, Survivor 50, we still got a shot. Hopefully we get some surprises there. And if you want to hear our 10 burning questions answered over there for Survivor 50, we ask and we kind of answer, we discuss. Blake talks about Mount Rushmore a lot, but go check out that video. Also check out the episode 10 recap we just did last night. Will and I like this video and subscribe to the channel. If you made it this far in, please like the video. It helps us. It goes a long way. It's very useful. We've been gaining subscribers like crazy at the point now where I'm not even realizing. I didn't realize how close we were to 10,600, and then we just crossed 10,600, so I didn't even get to say, hey, everybody, help us get to 10,600. We're just getting subscribers. It's very appreciated. Blake, you have anything else you want to say about this episode?
Cool challenge. That's appreciated. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a lot of other stuff. Cool challenge where all eight of us are fighting for something. Interesting hearing Charlie say grip strength was my, I put all the puzzles together. Nope. I have a grip trainer that I do all the time. I was like,
wow.
Wow. But this is because I had elbow surgery.
Have you broken that thing numerous times because your grip is so strong?
No, this is like the light one, and it's still hard. I don't even know if I'm doing it right.
I don't know. Somebody's going to be judging you, though, because you're doing it right there. But
That's all I got.
All right, cool. Well, thank you, everybody. Hope you enjoyed this. Become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialists. Good idea, fun stuff. Blake and I are doing two casting videos this month. Will and I put out Survivor Rock Draw yesterday, and we put out a Thailand location discussion today. So, and my after show. So plenty of content over on the Patreon if you're interested in getting more. And it's all ad-free, so you don't have to deal with like the stupid ads from YouTube here. Thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.